So I like to talk about our meditation practice as relaxing into what is, suchness. We take nature for our example. The palms, you know, they blow in the wind, but they're firmly rooted. They go with it, and yet they survive perfectly. Another great teacher said, "See the lilies of the field, they toil not." The other thing that I noticed tonight, which I'm just grateful for, is all the feminine energy. Daughters and granddaughters and mothers and sisters, and it's quite wonderful. And it reminds me that, you know, from the point of view of our original nature, we are all masculine, feminine. You know, that whole energy is part of everything that we are. And yes, you know, individuals, we are unique and wonderful in our unique ways. And again, coming back to the lilies of the field, not toiling, being comfortable with who you are and being present with it, all of it, you know, how you identify with your sexuality, how you treat other people, how you act in the world, all of it can be just relaxing into what is instead of trying to make it something that it's not. So I think finding joy in life and enjoying your life, it's being really in touch with, you know, what makes you tick. What brings you that joy? What are your talents? What are your things that you have as a unique person that you're contributing by just being who you are, not trying to be someone else or better than what you already are? So the lilies in the field, they don't toil, yet they're beautiful and they bring us much joy just to look at them. That's really all I had to say tonight. So now I'd love to hear from you guys. We can have questions or tell me about your experience.
I actually have a question, unless Michaela wants to tell us about her first sit ever.
How was it?
I don't know how to describe, but it wasn't common, but it also wasn't like, I wasn't like thinking, I guess. Mm-hmm. It was more like this state of mind where you're there, but you're not.
Well, I noticed something really interesting about you that really tickled me. I noticed that you straightened out that last cushion you walked by. And I think that's wonderful because that's a contribution that you made to our Sangha, by straightening something out that was out of place. And I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Why are you listening? I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen, Mom, we don't want to hear it.
I do have a question, though.
Yeah, what's up?
So I was thinking about how to word it earlier today. And I guess the best way to ask it is anger ever justified? Is there ever a time where being angry is the right thing to be?
Well, first of all, I think defining anger is kind of like defining love. There's not the one word doesn't fit all the different ways we express love. Anger in its worst state is violence towards oneself and towards others. It's not contributing anything, really. When it's transmuted into, I guess I would call it righteous indignation, when you see an injustice and you're upset about it, and you would like to write it, but it's dangerous because it can take you down the rabbit hole of creating more harm. So you have to really be careful. If it's a motivation that gets you to change from anger to motivation to act appropriately in a given situation, then yeah. And also I think anger doesn't necessarily have to come up, you know, as in the traditional sense of yelling, screaming, you know, all of that. It can be caught early and you can use the energy, you know, in a more positive way. So understanding what's happening with you, recognizing that your emotion is fired up, for example, knowing why it's fired up and what you can do about it. Either you stop, you don't do anything, you know, just take a breath and let it go, or you transmute it into something else. You use it to learn something about what's happening. It's a complicated answer because every situation is different. But I would say, generally speaking, anger isn't contributing anything. Anybody else have something to say about that? Fran?
You sort of alluded to, I think anger can create energy to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we're angry because something's not working for us and we haven't empowered ourselves to make it work. And sometimes we need to have anger in order to do that. I've done a lot of work with anger, and what I try to do is watch it, like in a meditation. You know, if I'm not sitting on a cushion, if I'm angry, I try not to react out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But just to watch it within myself and let it kind of erupt a little bit so I can learn from it.
Yeah.
And I found that to be more helpful. Because as a young person, I would just stuff it. Anger was bad. I shouldn't be angry. There was, you know, no expressing it. And then that wasn't helpful either. So I found just kind of watching it, being with it, trying not to judge it.
Yes.
And seeing if it's something that can take me to another place.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my lessons about anger is when I was going through a difficult period in a relationship, and I was talking to the Zen master, my teacher at the time, and I was expressing my anger about the situation I was in. And he looked at me and he just said, "Oh, emotional mind." You know, and it's just kind of like took the sting out of it. It's like, you know, you're just caught up in your emotional mind because, you know, you have this thing going on, but that's all it is. So, you know, you don't have to take it any further. It's like, oh yeah, my emotions are like really off, going crazy right now because of my situation. So just acknowledging it and that level was all it took for me at that point to recognize it and at least diffuse it, you know? So, which is very similar to what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just paying attention and see, and recognizing it and what it is.
Yeah, it's for me right now, it's working with a racist coworker and seeing some of those not blatant, like, you know, she never actually says anything truly racist. It's the, you know, the microaggressions is what we call them. And I see it happening and I'm angry on behalf of my Black coworker who's, you know, having this happen to her, and I see it happening and I'm angry on her behalf. And I'm like, I don't want to feel angry, but at the same time, I feel like this anger that I'm feeling is justified. And,
sure.
And that's where I'm like, is anger ever really justifiable though? You know?
Well, I would suggest that if you go with it, you're contributing to the racist experience. Yeah, but no, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like, you remember the recent trial in Georgia,
right?
And the prosecutor and how she handled that case?
Mm-hmm.
She only mentioned racism once. She didn't build her case on "you racists."
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have to. Right. It was obvious.
Right. Mm.
And it didn't give the racists a chance to attack and take a position. Don't call me racist. How dare you? Who are you? Who do you think you are? Blah, blah, blah. Instead, you're just being a mirror and reflecting reality exactly as it is. All she had to do is say, these people murdered this person. That's it. So, you know, if you're not treating a person right, if you're being rude, you point out you're being rude. And you don't go there, you know, because I think that that's a healthier way of dealing with it. Because once you create the conflict,
right,
you know, there's no communication anymore. There's no openness. And, you know, I mean, you might, if you were to try to not change her mind, but get her to understand how her position and how she goes through the world is affecting the people around her, that would be more helpful than calling her a racist. Yeah, it's dangerous because now you're in that world of duality, mm-hmm. of right and wrong,
yeah.
and judgment. It's not a place you really want to be.
Right.
It's not going to be helpful.
I find that through the meditation, anger has changed, and it's kind of over there now, and I'm able to notice it without getting sucked into it. Sometimes I get sucked in, but it's much better. And during this past week, I had a dream. I didn't know that I was feeling angry in the dream. I was angry, but I actually hired someone to be angry for me. And as I got out of the dream and remembered it, I thought, this is really interesting because that's the next step, right? Now, maybe I won't have to hire anybody.
What about metta?
Metta's good, yes. Loving kindness. Yeah.
Yes.
It also gets you into the place of understanding we're all Buddhas, doesn't it? I mean, if you look at someone as a Buddha. So, but that's, you know, light years away from an ordinary sort of ignorant point of view of feeling threatened or attacked. For change to happen, people have to be willing to really look at themselves. And sometimes it takes a really bad thing to happen before they're willing to do that. Sometimes they have to really hurt themselves and someone else before, you know, anything can change. Because they don't recognize the patterns. From our meditation practice, another way of looking at it is undoing all that karma. You know, the only way to undo it is to see it. And then it's already undone. It's like, there's nothing else to do. It's like, okay, do I want to keep carrying on like that? I can. But now I know I don't have to. I know that that's a pattern that was developed over, you know, whatever period of time because of conditions, causes and conditions. And, you know, that's not who I am. It's not who anybody is. That's just causes and conditions. It's how it happens. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a challenge. It's what our life is about. So relax into what is. Instead of fighting what isn't. Yeah, sometimes I have felt justified in telling people to mind their own business.
Yeah.
So she could feel that way about you. We have to respect people's struggles. So I getting back to how that prosecutor handled that case in Georgia. I think there's a lot to learn from that politically for the liberal establishment about how to deal with these kinds of issues. She was brilliant. I don't know if it was on purpose or just her personality, but she really was brilliant in how she handled that case. When you think about it, we're in Georgia with an all-white jury and one black person. It worked. I mean, I think in that case, at least, some justice was served, and people who did harm are going to be punished for the harm that they did. It was like leveling the playing field.
Yes.
It was like, you know, we're all humans here. We all have red blood, and this was just wrong. So we need to get back to that.
Yeah.
Because the divisiveness, you know, this side is right, that side has this. There's no right side when it comes to that. Life is sacred. Get over it. You know, there's no side here. You know, taking the high road, I think she just took the high road. So it was a good example of what can be done, mm-hmm. and something to look at.
Well, instead of perpetuating labels.
Yes.
Which causes all the problems in the first place. She didn't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should think about that. So we just have to deal with what we do have in our control and let go of those things that we don't have in control. The lilies in the field,
yeah.
We have those. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I hope that was useful.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah. So the coming back to the question, how can I help? Or metta. And get clear on that. You know, am I helping? Am I not helping? You know, is this useful? Is it not? I mean, just how can I help? It just changes your perspective. Instead of being overwhelmed by the sorrow, you focus on how can I help? And then you do that instead of letting it burden you, because you're not helping. It's like anger.
Thich Nhat Hanh always talks about, if you want to create peace in the world, you create it in yourself.
Yeah. Right. Right. Wow, this has been a good night. Lots of good things. Thank you. The best sessions we have is when serious questions get asked. So anyway, thank you so much. Good to see you all.